Back on session. Okay, yes, Carol.
Oh, this is just a light aside here. The scene that I described in the remarks by the privilege of the legislature, Kevin over here has a little tiny computer, very cute computer, which I won't ask him to circulate because it won't, might not come back. And he, as I was speaking, apparently found a photograph that is what I saw, minding my own business, looking out the window of the airplane in Colorado. You should all
Thank
see
you.
It.
Look forward to
circulate the link.
We're going to go back.
Oh, no, he was more
I'm sure we all want to get out at a reasonable time. We're going to move back to the beginning of the agenda. I'm going to ask for Public Safety Committee, Martha Robertson, Chair.
Thank you. The committee hasn't met since the legislature last met. We will, the next meeting is September 21st, 2:30. But a couple pieces of information. You've all got a copy of the Sheriff's Department annual report on your desk. Have a look. The I want to thank Joe. Where'd he go?
He's being interviewed out in the hall.
Okay.
Press, right?
We'll have to thank him again later. I want to thank Joe especially, and also Julia Hughes in assigned counsel, for giving putting together information so that I could send a statement to NYSAC about the assigned counsel maintenance of effort problem that we have. We've talked about this before, the fact that for all counties, any increase by that the counties are required to pay the same amount for indigent defense, at least a dollar more every year, or else they lose all their state aid. And we're very much at risk of in that situation this year. It's called the maintenance of effort requirement. So with Julia and Joe's help, we put together a statement to NYSAC asking that the Public Safety Committee of NYSAC ask for some changes in the state and in the state program, and they have taken our suggestions, and that will be in a resolution that's going to come to the Public Safety Committee meeting at NYSAC on September 16th. Three things we were asking for. First, that the state maintenance of effort requirement be eliminated. We just don't think that we should be held to that. But if they decide they have to keep it, that instead of basing the formula on the gross expenditures, the total amount of money we spend on indigent defense, that they should base it on the cost per case. The denominator matters. So that if we have fewer crimes this year compared to last year, then is that?
That's the alarm from at the wrong door, probably.
If we have fewer crimes committed this year compared to last year, we're not forced to either lose our state funding or somehow, you know, balloon our defense costs if we have fewer crimes. So base it on cost per case. If there is a drop in spending, to make it proportional, if our spending goes down 5%, we should lose 5% of the state aid instead of all of it. And that they have a three-year moving average. If they're going to calculate this, that at least they look at a three-year moving average instead of 1 year compared to the other, because we just would like to smooth out the anomalies that happen, especially for small counties. So I'm very hopeful that that'll go come out of the NYSAC Public Safety Committee. I want to thank Joe and Julie for their help on that. And we'll see where it goes. Of course, coming out of NYSAC doesn't necessarily mean anything, but we'll try. Now, everybody needs to do the upper body, you know, exercise here with this lifting. So you got your budget book tonight, so we wanted to make sure you had something for your other hand. This is the report by the Indigent Defense Task Force that has been working since January, and I sent the email to everybody about it. I want to thank the committee that worked on this. They will bring this formally to the Public Safety Committee on September 21st, and I promise I will try to have, like, nothing else on that agenda. So because this is a lot of really important information, and I'll just start reading, if you don't mind.
Actually, like, raise, like, narration.
What?
I like Ray to narrate it for me and put it on a podcast.
There you go. Okay, we can do that.
You know, the work.
I especially want to, the task force members were Heather Bissell, Kelly Dam, Jim Dennis, Deb Dietrich, Bill Furness, myself, and Ray Schlatter chaired it. Joe came to every meeting. It was very, very helpful. And Jackie Thomas took minutes and produced the documents. And I'm sorry, I can't. Namar Alganas was a Cornell intern who helped out with the data. So, we'll talk about the content after public safety has talked about it. But I just want to acknowledge the task force that worked so hard on this. It really is a terrific piece of information analysis, and I'm going to take a copy to NYSAC. I think other counties might do well to sort of look at what we've put together here. Although the headline in the journal was that sort of no changes were recommended, that's no big changes were recommended, and that was kind of the basic question, should we go to a public defender system? In fact, there were a lot of changes recommended that I think could be very significant, and especially if we can get out of the all-or-nothing maintenance of effort requirement, we could do a good job of reducing costs without sacrificing quality and perhaps improving quality of defense. So we'll talk some more about the content next time, but we wanted to get this to you in advance, so even though you got a lot of reading this month, public safety, I really hope you'll especially look through the 36 pages of the actual report. So,
Tim Dennis?
I just want to mention the work that Raym Schlatter did and the two other people, Kelly and Bill. Amazing. It was a really good committee, and Joe did a ton also. It was amazing in committee as a legislator to go to because you felt no obligation to say a word. You could just listen, and it was quite good. And thanks for putting me on it, Greg. It really was. They did a great job with it, and it was a good experience, good learning experience for us.
And you vouch for every word?
I'm sorry?
He does.
You vouch for every word?
Every word. On to Frank Proto.
And Jim, recognizing that restraint, were there county legislators that were in attendance that felt no obligation to?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
I
wonderful.
I would say both of us did.
Martha, this is a lot of work, and I know the group that put it together really devoted a lot of time to it, and obviously, with the exception of yourself or perhaps the members that attended with you, a lot of us aren't familiar with the content yet. The only caution I would advise is if this goes to NYSAC, that it doesn't go with the understanding that this legislature has adopted or has sanctioned any of the recommendations. This is a report from the task force to this legislature, and I want to make sure that it's not promoted at the state level as a done deal. Until at least we've had an opportunity to review it and buy in or not buy in, but recognize the amount of work and effort that's gone into it.
Thank you,
Frank.
That's a good point, and maybe if I, you know, maybe I'll just hand carry it to save the shipping costs, but I would make sure that they know that it's sort of draft report until it's accepted or whatever action is taken. That's a good point, Frank.
Thank you.
If there are no further questions, thank you very much. Martha, moving on to Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, Leslie McBean, Claiborne Chair.
WDIC will meet in September, but I do want to let you all know that we did hire of a project assistant in Sarah Reisetter, and hopefully at some point you will get to meet her. She is an absolutely amazing woman who is here in Ithaca, worked at Cornell University in their workforce diversity in that long title, Life Something Something Place, and with Lynette Chappelle-Williams. Sorry, Lynette, I never remember the name of the office, and is bringing a tremendous amount of knowledge, skill, and just talent to the county. And if I can figure out a way to keep her, we'll work at it. So you'll get to meet her at some point.
Thank you. If there's any questions? See none. We'll move on to Legislative Rules and Procedures Committee. Julie Kiefer, Chair.
Thank you. I just want to talk about Rule 17 today.
All right.
I'd like to move Resolution H, amending the rules of the legislature, Rule 17, acquiring and disclosing departmental information.
It's moved and seconded by Mike Hattery. And is there a discussion? Do you want to quickly summarize, Julie?
I want to remind folks that this rule came up at our retreat with department heads and has been mentioned several times by me, seeking comments on this from legislators. And not until you had this version in the agenda packet did I get any comments. Based on those comments, I would like to suggest changes in just two places. And that is in the first paragraph, which I will read in its entirety. Legislators who require departmental information from any county department to assist project development, policy development, or making decisions related to program or service performance shall transmit their information requests to the department head, a staff person designated by the department head, or a staff person with specialized expertise who routinely works with the legislators. And it's that last part that I would like to suggest it simplifying. So it will say, or a staff person with relevant expertise. Comments I got about that made the point that specialized may be read much more narrowly than relevant, and we may need information that may not be that specialized. The second change, to drop who routinely works with legislators, because although that would cover some handful of staff that we already call on many times, such as John Lampman in the Highway Department, it would not cover staff who we may need to contact briefly about their own particular work product that we would need to use. So to simplify it, if we change specialized to relevant and drop the part who routinely works with legislators, that would be one change I would suggest.
Is that friendly,
Mike? That's friendly.
Okay.
And the other one is down under number 2 on the first page, which I'll read. If the department head determines the request to be more than minimal in terms of staff time required or departmental costs, the legislature should direct the request in writing to the chair of the committee to which the department reports. If the committee chair declines to authorize the request, insert, in a timely manner, end insert, an appeal may be made to the full committee. If that fails, the request may be directed to the full legislature. So it's to insert in a timely manner.
That's friendly. Okay. People now have the language that's being proposed.
No, there's one other thing I want to mention, and that is that I asked Martha Robertson to draft some language that would respond to other comments received, which suggested that there's nothing in this rule that indicates that legislators need to be respectful of staff time, or that staff need to recognize that sometimes legislators really need help. So Martha has come up with some language, and I would like her to offer that now, to be added at the very start of the rule.
Thank you, Julie.
Martha.
Okay, thank you, Julie. And I emailed this at like 3 o'clock or something to a number of people, including Kathy, so that you had it. Just briefly, legislators who often need assistance from county staff in their conduct of county business should approach staff with respect for their need to do their jobs without undue interruptions. Staff should also respect legislators' needs for information in the service of the public. So that would just go at the very beginning of the rule.
And it might be okay to add after that the following procedures are intended to address these perspectives. and then that's the introduction to all of the procedures.
So do you accept that?
I accept it.
It's friendly to me, too.
I was able to quickly look at the wording you shared, Martha, and I think the idea of respect is perfectly valid. I'm not exactly sure if the words often and approach are equally in tone with the actual procedures. Now, the procedures are pretty clear about when you need information, who you approach. The broad language of that sentence, then it may be a disconnect with what's intended, but I haven't had a chance to really kind of put the two together. I got one email and one's in front of me now. So, but other comments? Kathy Lucerera, then Frank?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's my understanding that these changes to the rules of the legislature were reviewed by department heads prior to this?
Yes, in fact, I think that I shared their anonymous comments on these quite a few weeks ago.
And understanding that that collaborative process is something that constitutes, in my mind, an amount of trust and a conversation, I'd be interested in preserving the language that is proposed in the original resolution.
Well, we have two different things that have been, actually three things that have now been accepted as friendly.
I understand that.
So I just want to make sure what's now on the table is the entire package of things that were accepted as friendly, including what Martha just read, if I understand correctly. Is that correct, Dooley and,
yes.
And Mike? Okay.
Do you want me to say this a little more differently? What I'll say is, I think the department heads agreed to something that's different than what we're agreeing to now, and that it's not serving the purpose that was intended, which was to streamline communication and clarify for legislators as well as department heads and employees lines of communication, and I believe that the changes as proposed tonight muddy the waters. I won't be supporting the friendly changes, and as a result, I won't be supporting the amending the rules of the legislature tonight.
Okay, other comments on the entire resolution? Frank next, and then Dooley.
Thanks, Mike. I had some trouble with this at the Rules Committee as well. Some of us that don't try to abuse contacting individuals in the departments, but nonetheless, from time to time, you have to get a hold of somebody because you need clarification on something. There's certain information that's pertinent to whatever you might be researching, but we have to respect the fact that departments are not R&D extensions of whatever we have a bright idea about. And that's what created this rule a number of years ago. We had a legislator who was constantly haranguing a particular department and department head for information, and it goes back maybe 15 years. It precedes anybody on this board. This is a legislator who's no longer here. The concern that I have, and one of the proposed changes I'm having trouble with, the chair of any of the standing committees, it reduces the opportunity for that chair to think about, discuss, or whatever, not proceeding with a request to only in a timely manner. There may be extenuating circumstances that the chairman of that committee or chairperson of that committee has not been able to either share for confidential reasons or whatever with the rest of the committee or even with the person who's asking the information. And I don't think that it's appropriate to just to insert that third or fourth change in a timely manner, because I simply don't agree with that. The other is there are times when we need information, and with all due respect to our department heads, we are the elected body, and there are times when we need information, and I don't have a problem with generally with what Martha suggested as opening wording about respecting time and whatnot. Most of us try to do that anyway. That's just common courtesy. But I do have a problem with having to go through the steps. If you need, no problem with describing to the department head why you need the information and trying to work something out where you can get it. No problem with that whatsoever. But this seems to me that, and this is why I was having trouble in the committee with it as well, this seems to me to be a little bit of an obstructionist operation, or at least the rewording seems to be a little bit tough for me to handle. As far as gathering information, I don't have, personally, don't have any problem with the request. There's a section of this we haven't even gotten to yet, but that deals with requesting personnel information about an individual. We're only talking about certain types of data in order to talk about policy. But if you flip over to the second page, you'll see that there's changes regarding work performance. Personally, I am totally supportive of that. That part I don't have a problem with, because if you do need it, there should be a procedure, and there are procedures that, unfortunately, we weren't able to lay our hands on that already exist as to how we can acquire or at least understand what that information is. It's a development of a policy or a change in a procedure that I'm having a concern over. And I think if that hamstrings any one of the 15 of us with respect to getting the information, I've personally got a little bit of a problem with that.
Okay, Abdulie next, and then Martha, then Pam.
I wanted to clarify what Kathy described as the original resolution. We received, as I said, anonymous comments from department heads put together, packaged by administration, and then there was a version that included what department heads and the committee thought would be reasonable, and that all went to the committee, at which time the committee made some other changes. So the original resolution in the package with the agenda reflects some committee changes to what had been a departmental proposal that came through administration. I think I've said that right. So I didn't want you to be misled into thinking that what was in the agenda packet was word for word what came out of a collaborative effort.
I understood that.
Okay.
Martha?
I'm confused by Frank's comments, but I think that the changes, changing specialized to relevant, removing who you routinely works with legislators, if anything sort of opens that up.
I didn't address those. I said I was in favor of those. It's the last one, in a time and manner.
Oh.
That's the one I was referring to.
I think that's sufficiently vague that I think that sort of just kind of is a little nudge that, you know, that something shouldn't just be bottlenecked up for the sake of holding it up. Mike, on the additional language, do you have, you said something about approach was not, you remember,
well, my,
do you have something to suggest?
Point of order, Mr. Chairman.
Let me just answer the question quickly. My sense upon reading it was that this particular wording that was being proposed in this resolution was fairly particular, and that a few of your words in your entry was fairly broad. Legislators who often need assistance and should approach staff opened up a gate pretty widely, whereas the language that starts out with legislators who require departmental information is a bit more narrow. That's all. It just seems.
Well, how about May? Legislators who may need assistance, is that better?
Yeah, that could work, and you know, approach seems broad, but you know, again, I did not take time to choose other words, but that I wanted to point out that it seemed a bit disconnected with the actual phrasing that was following.
What Martha, I believe, tried to put down for us was a broad context.
understand.
And the procedures have to be more specific. So I don't see a disconnect.
Well, I've not heard a motion to change the wording of what's on the table as friendly. So we'll proceed with that. Okay. I have, Martha, if you're done, I have Pam next.
Yeah, that's it.
I guess what I would like to add here is that these rules are the rules of the legislature, which are rules that I assume that we are making for ourselves in the way that we conduct business as legislators. And I think that it was important to get department heads' input on this, as it always is important to get department heads' input. But in the end, they are our rules. And the thing that I have no problem with our changing them, editing them, whatever we feel is important. But for me, what I got from the department head's input, which I found very interesting and very important, is that they clearly feel that that some of us, or all of us, I don't know, that there are times when we are overstepping our bounds. There are times when they feel that we are coming into their departments perhaps too often, asking too deep. I mean, I don't know what it is. But the flags went up for me when I saw their input. And I think we all need to think very carefully when we are going to departments to ask for information, because in these days it's even more true that they are very busy people and we have given them a lot of work to do. And I think that we need to be very careful when we talk to them, because it feels to me that they feel that we are invading them sometimes.
Okay, Frank had a point of order that I overlooked.
Clearly, Dooley, as the chair of this special committee, has been asking for several months for comments from this board.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us are not near our computers at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and therefore didn't receive some of these suggested changes until tonight at mm-hmm. this meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Since, in my opinion, there needs to be some more deliberation, and with respect to what Pam just said, also there may be a need, and also what Kathy asked, there may be a need to go over the comments that the department heads have raised so that others may share in what they were. I would suggest that this is not ready for a vote tonight, and that you send it back to committee for further work, because even you are changing.
Your point of order is a request for clarification. Are you actually making a motion?
Well, I don't know if I can do that under a point of order.
You can.
So I'm asking for clarification if this is ready to be voted on tonight, and then I will make an offer to send this back to committee.
Your point of order about is it ready is yes, it's ready because it's coming out of that committee. If you want to make an amendment to what's on the floor now, you can do so. If you want to table or postpone, you can do so.
All right. I'd like to move to postpone at least for the second meeting in October to give sufficient time for the Rules Committee to weigh the changes that have been proposed and any additional changes that might
be. Is there a second to postpone it?
I might be willing to.
Is there a second?
Wait.
I have to take a second first before we even talk. Leslin seconds. Okay. Now discussion. Okay. Discussion. Carol, then Will, then Kathy.
I also have noted that Dooley has been asking us for months, and was going to point that out myself. The rest of us haven't been willing to focus on this in the same kind of way that we have now tonight and in the days preceding this, having it come to the floor. So I am very happy that this came to the floor. That said, I was going to make a suggestion, not that we, I don't know that I will vote to remove it from the floor, but upon the rest of the discussion tonight about this, as after people get out all of their comments about this, I was going to ask the chair of the committee if she would want to voluntarily take it back and do one more round with the staff, or let us see it in its finished form before bringing it back, since there isn't a deadline to do it.
Motion on the floor.
I don't know that I would, that I will vote, depending on the discussion, the rest of the discussion.
Motion on the floor is to postpone to the second meeting in October. I have Will, Kathy, Dooley, and Martha. Will is next.
Well, I think I will not support the motion to defer. I really think, folks, that Dooley has done a real service by bringing it to us, forcing us to think about this piece. There are many other pieces, and I think we need to be starting some progress. This is not cast in concrete forever. We will probably revisit this at some point and make it better. In fact, I think part of the whole thing is that we, on an ongoing basis, will be trying to keep these rules semi-current. But I think the committee and the folks that have responded have attempted to struggle with some way of addressing the inherent tension that exists between our duties as legislators and trying to find information for the public, trying to deal with problems, but interacting with staff in a way that is both respectful but allows us to get the information we get. I think we're pretty close here. I hope we vote on it tonight.
Kathy Luz Herrera.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What I remember is the department of retreat when department heads mentioned the issue of communication, and I felt that at that time we made a commitment to address this. I don't mean in any way to disparage the committee's work. As a matter of fact, there have been a number of times when any of us sitting around this table have requested that committee resolutions that have come forward be reconsidered, and certainly I think that everyone can remember occasions of that nature. Of particular relevance to me for tonight's meeting, and the reason that I will vote to postpone this, is the CAP committee recommendations, one of which was to reduce staff support to some committees. These are some daunting times, and part of what we need to think about and struggle with and focus on is how we as individuals, as legislators, and as representatives of the people are going to make it easier for staff to do the work of government. And if that means figuring out some wording that's more consistent with what they as professionals are asking of us in terms of streamlining our interactions with them, I'm willing to take a little bit longer to find something that's a little more consistent with what I heard very candidly, and I might add courageously, from department heads who admitted that they were speaking for staff, direct reports, and others.
Thank you, Kathy. Dooley Kiefer.
Well, it's, Rules is a small committee. It's Mike Hattery, Frank Proto, and myself. We had unanimously agreed to put Resolution H on the agenda. The changes I proposed tonight were in response to a handful of comments from fellow legislators, and I do not know if there are going to be any other comments on this document tonight. If the only comments are the ones that I've heard and tried to react to by proposing these small changes, I don't see a lot of reason for this to go back to committee. I think we can deal with these changed bits of wording tonight. There will be more packages coming from this committee that you all are going to be asked to do, and we hope to do it on a regular basis. And if this goes back to committee, it's likely to set all of those later. And this committee should not continue into next year. We really need to finish this.
Martha Robertson.
Well, I, since the committee is three people and two of them have accepted these changes as friendly, that suggests to me that if it goes back to the committee, their minds are kind of made up, I think. I mean, so I think it's not worth sending this back to committee. I also think that changes are improvements and really not major at all. I did look at, even though I didn't give you comments duly back several weeks ago, I did look at all that information from the department heads, and my memory is that the committee accepted a great deal of what the department heads asked to have changed. And you know, there was that's really mostly, this mostly reflects their points of view. So I hope we vote on this. I would point out that whatever is written in paper it is really up to us to behave. I mean, it's really up to us to be very judicious about what we ask of our staff at all times, and this document isn't going to solve everybody's problem every time. Somebody's still going to feel their toes were stepped on, or somebody's going to feel they were ignored, or whatever. I think this is a very balanced and useful and effective statement. I hope we vote on it tonight.
Are you ready to vote? Frank Proto.
Just to remind you, the vote is on the motion to postpone. I'm glad to hear what Martha just said, because some of the changes that this resolution proposes have been brought about by some of the actions of some of us sitting around this table tonight. But I'd like to remind the board what precipitated the need for formation of this committee in the first place. It wasn't Rule 17. It was a debacle that took place at the beginning of this year about selection of chairman of the board and vice chairman. That was what precipitated the formation of this committee to review the rules so that there was an opportunity to get the appropriate flow of action done.
Are you ready to vote on the motion to postpone? Carol Chalk.
Yeah. I take some exception to Frank's
on the motion to postpone.
Because I don't think that I think that rules and procedures should be examined at least once every 15 years. That's not a bad thing to be doing. Many of our other rules, I'm just really conflicted about how to vote on this particular rule change. On many of our others, I would feel
this is about postponement.
I understand that this is about whether to postpone or not. Because on many of our other rules, I would have no problems with us being the ones to unqualifiedly set the rules and the procedures. I was in the room, and I think that this issue of the communication between the legislators and the department heads and department staff is an important one, and in some ways at the crux of what we do.
This is about postponing, not the issue.
If there is something to possibly be gained by having this sit for another month or 2 weeks till our next meeting and come back to us, or would it be a month, on this one in particular, I really don't want our department staff to feel that we've slighted them in any input that they might have, whether we accept it or not, that at least they have the chance to comment. So I'm just not...
Please refrain from hand motions, folks. If you want to make a comment, please raise your hand.
Phone it to give our department heads time to look at it.
I have Jim Dennis's hand up, and then Nathan Shinagawa.
I will support Frank's motion if he changes it to the first meeting in 2010.
I don't think that Frank is going to do that, so that's we're moving
I'm
on.
Trying to be respectful, Jim.
Nathan Shinagawa.
Oh, I just had a very smart alecky thing to say, and I realized that it wasn't in order, and Jim's was much better.
Thank you for refraining. On the motion, are we ready to vote on the motion to postpone to the second meeting in October? All in favor of postponement? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. All opposed?
Wait, no, I take it back. I don't want to.
That's 7 in favor. Did you get those?
2 overs.
Yes.
All those opposed to postponing to the second meeting in October. We had 7 in favor. That should be, everyone's here. That's 8. Yep. Nathan, are you opposed or are you in favor?
I'm opposed. Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So it is now on the table for tonight.
I call a question.
Question's been called and seconded by Greg. That means it's a motion to close debate, essentially. All in favor of closing debate and voting on this immediately. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Jim, was your hand up?
Yep.
That's 10.
Can I have a do-over?
Opposed to calling the question. 1, 2, 3, four. That should be five, I believe.
Chair, did you vote, Mike?
I voted to call the question. Can we redo the noes? Those opposed to calling the question. One, two, three, four. We will assume that everyone else is a yes. That calling the question passes. We're now going to vote on the resolution H as amended for friendly amendments three different times. The words "with relevant," the phrase "who routinely works with legislators" taken out, the phrase "in a timely manner" put in, and there's a new beginning preamble. Legislators who often need assistance from county staff in their conduct of county business should approach staff with respect for their need to do their jobs without undue interruptions. Staff should also respect legislators' needs for information in the service of the public. Are we ready to vote? We have to vote. All in favor?
And Dooley had one other segue sentence.
The following procedures are intended to address these perspectives.
Yes.
Question's been called?
She's just telling us what we're voting on. Question's been called. All in favor?
In favor of the resolution.
Yes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Is it 11 or 12? Please keep your hands up again. People are not keeping it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. That's what I thought. And opposed. 1, 2, 3. Okay, that passes. And that is now our new Rule 17 going into the budget process. Thank you very much. And I look forward to vigorous comments on this committee's work before it gets to our legislative level in the future. Health and Human Services Committee, Frank Proto, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The next Health Committee meeting will be September the 8th, a week from today. In spite of the fact that we haven't met since the August meeting, I have three items I just wanted to remind you of and give you a quick update. There was quite a good article in the Ithaca Journal regarding the H1N1 flu and the setting up for it. Just a reminder to stay tuned. Alice Cole has been doing and her department a very good job of getting the word out on that. Secondly, you may recall that I pulled off the agenda at the last meeting the resolution regarding the feeder service. I just wanted to let you know that TCAT and DSS have been meeting. They had another meeting today to discuss some of the concerns, and hopefully with Joe's help we'll be able to bring something to you shortly. Maybe that's the best thing to say. We don't want to commit to a date because we don't have one yet. But just to let you know that those discussions are going on, and everyone is hopefully moving forward on this. The last item, I distributed a copy of an op-ed piece to Patricia Carey, Bob DeLuca, Lisa Holmes, and Alice Cole, and we copied the Human Services Coalition on it just recently. The concern was a proposed change by the state of New York to allow Medicaid recipients to purchase drugs with their Medicaid money outside of New York State. It was mail order. It could include outside the country, but it was particular to other states. And there was an outcry by the pharmacies as to what this will do to their employment levels and also cash flow for the pharmacies. Just draw your attention to it because this is the kind of concern that's going to be raised as everyone's scrambling to save money. We have to be aware of one action has often not such an equal and opposite reaction. Sometimes it can be devastating without meaning to be. And hopefully by the committee meeting I might have some reaction to those requests and I'll report on it then. Again, the next meeting is September 8th, 3:30.
Thank you, Frank. If there's no questions, is this essential?
Well, I have a question for Frank about the swine flu comment.
Okay.
Sure. About Rule 17?
No. H1N1.
No, but this has to do with the department head. My question is, I've been asked, to what extent should people be scared about this swine flu as opposed to prepared? What's coming out now seems to be, we're...
I can answer.
Okay, I'll leave it at
okay.
that.
And I'm going to ask, let me try it first, and then Nathan, who's, who probably came back from Guthrie this
Actually,
afternoon.
Actually, right before I came here, I was in H1N1B, yes.
You should be concerned. I don't think you should be running paranoid and scared. The vaccine is not quite available yet, as I understand it, and it just hasn't been made available. The timetable has been set for the inoculations. We have indeed, and our department has been very active. Our health department's been very active. The report I gave you last month about the fact that you need, it's a two-shot series. And I was teasing you, the shots are not given one in each knee, but it is a two-shot series, and you do need both shots. The fact that you get one and you don't get the second one doesn't do anything for you. Even with the vaccine, it's just like anything else, you're not totally immune to it. You might still get it. Nobody can give you 100% assurance, but if you still should practice the natural hygiene that has been promoted, the washing of hands, covering your nose and your mouth for coughing and sneezing. The biggest concern right now, and help me with this too, Nathan, is school is opening next, the public schools are opening next Wednesday. The college students are already here. And those are the situations that are incubators for this type of thing. I think it was Will that brought it up at the last meeting that the regular flu vaccine will be available a month earlier, which is this month. And we're going to be, the health department's going to be working with that one. But I think, Nathan, you might have very pertinent, hot off the press information.
If we can be brief, Alice Cole has already given us a memo about this.
Yeah.
I don't have much beyond that. Okay. Just very quickly, though, Carol, with swine flu, it's potency, it's how much, I'm sorry, potency is the wrong word. Its rate of spread is higher than normal influenza, so that's why you have to be prepared for it. However, its effect on how bad the disease is not significantly, but it's not as bad as the seasonal flu. Right, but what it does is that because it has a high rate of spread, it will affect larger groups of the population, especially young children and the elderly, who even if it is not as bad as the seasonal flu, it will still adversely affect their health in probably very strong ways. So,
I'll direct you to Alice Cole's memo.
So just from a policy perspective, I just ask that we not contribute to the fear generation that we were talking about before, that we ask people to be prepared, not scared.
Well, in the new, excuse me, Mr. Chairman, the newly passed Rule 17, you have to be careful how much information you ask of Alice at this point, because she obviously has to do this.
We move on to Facilities and Infrastructure Committee. We already had the resolutions. Is there any further report from the committee? Julie?
Actually, there is. Sorry.
Okay, that's fine. As vice chair?
I'm not vice chair. The committee met on August 20th, but we were missing both Leslie, the chair,
right,
and Kathy, the vice chair.
Excuse me.
So I chaired the committee, and Mike and Dwayne were there, and you added yourself to the committee. So we met on August 20th. And Commissioner Marks reported on the progress at 55 Brown Road, and he will be giving a report to the full legislature at our September 15th meeting. Frank, that was especially for you.
Thanks.
And he'll also be requiring an executive session at the September 15th meeting dealing with the status of the Biggs property. He also reported on Forest Home traffic calming, pointing out that it's a Town of Ithaca project, but it affects county roads, and there are a handful of issues that the town and the county need to resolve. But there's no question that it will go forward. And he also introduced the new assistant director for facilities, Bob O'Loughlin. So it's good to have that position filled. It should not be a vacancy on the roster. We added to the agenda a report from Weights and Measures. Don Ellis is the single incumbent in that department, and he gave a brief history of the department, noting that staff levels had been reduced by one half. He's the only one there now. The total he's required to reduce his budget, 6.25% plus fringe, totals to about 9.8% reduction for him. And the only way he can meet that goal is by cutting his own hours. So he will be requesting an over-target request to reinstate them. He was able to eliminate $1,200 in reduced fuel costs from his budget by eliminating checks for 56 non-commercial devices, such things as scales at Cornell ROTC, scales in school districts, TST BOCES. In reply to a question, he indicated there are already areas he's not able to cover, such as timing devices, package checks, and pricing accuracy. The state has a right to fine Weights and Measures departments when they don't complete what they're supposed to do, but the state so far has never done that. However, if they need money, who knows what they're going to do this time. I requested that Mr. Ellis provide additional information about what staffing levels to meet all that he's supposed to do would actually be and what that would cost. So I hope he gets that to us before the budget time. You saw a group of airport resolutions which passed eventually. Bob Nicholas gave a good presentation on his budget material, and instead of telling you about that, I've asked that his two pages be put in your red folders. Since that's an enterprise department, we often don't look at it as carefully as maybe we should. The solid waste department made a presentation on their budget. What's noteworthy to report is that although they anticipated a $500,000 shortfall in their recycling revenues because the markets have tanked, so that was based on the first quarter of this year. Things have improved a little bit, so Barbara's estimate now is a $240,000 shortfall for recycling revenues. And she noted that about $5.5 million of her $6 million is in mandated expenses. The committee meeting ended with a presentation on waste reduction and recycling education program that three staff members led by Lynette Short took on this summer. They visited 31 camps over a 7-day period, and they reached over 1,500 individuals with information about recycling and waste reduction. And one of the two people who helped do the presentations with Ms. Short, a young woman named Dean, noted that her internships at Solid Waste had caused her to change her major to environmental studies. So that was a nice ending for the meeting.
That's nice.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Dooley? Thank you. We're going to move on to Government Performance Workforce Relations Committee. Nathan Shinagawa, Chair.
Oh, gosh. Well, I think that we are meeting. I believe that I don't have a report because...
Friday the 4th.
Yes, it's Friday the next... I'm a little bit delirious right now, but we actually canceled our meeting, didn't we?
What?
Wait, did we not cancel our meeting? No, I'm getting my basic stuff. All right. All right, I'm confused because I had resolutions today, but we have not met since
since our last meeting.
Did you want to reconsider your vote on Rule 17?
Yeah. Thank you. All right. I'm sorry. We haven't met since the last legislature meeting. And so as a result, I don't have any additional stuff to report other than what I reported at the last legislature meeting. With that, we have a GPWR committee meeting next Friday. And yes. Good.
Thank you very much. There's food in the other room, Nathan.
No report. That's what I should have said. No report.
Going to move on to planning. No report. Thank you. Planning, development, environmental quality committee. Pam McAsee, chair.
The planning committee will meet on Wednesday. The planning committee will meet on Wednesday, September 9th.
Thank you very much. Budget.
That's how it's done.
Oh, thank you very much. Good job, Pam. September, October. There you go. We're looking at it carefully. The other thing I want to mention is that there was a meeting this afternoon, Pam and myself, and the audit. We're the audit committee, for those of you who are envious, that we met with the auditors, Chaskey's, Dieter Hagen, et al. And let me just read a statement. We did not identify any control deficiencies that we consider to be material weaknesses. Now, let me just back up 1 minute. Two control deficiencies equals significant deficiencies, and if you get a whole bunch of significant deficiencies, you have a material weakness. And so we don't have any material weaknesses. And in short, our department does a great job managing the money we have. There are a few suggestions that were made by the auditors that David and his people are working on and have been working on. Very small. The key words are we have no material weaknesses. And I will see you all September 9th after PAM planning development.
Thank you. If there's no questions for Jim, who wants to move the minutes to the previous meeting from August 4th? Frank Proto moves them. Martha Robertson seconds. All in favor of the minutes?
Aye.
Any opposed? We have no executive session. All in favor of adjourning? Any opposed? Thank you very much.